It's time for a new adventure.
Welcome to Adventures in Business, a podcast dedicated to the voices of today's entrepreneurs. Adventure is not just an action, it's an attitude. We will broaden your horizons and understandings of what it's like to be a working person today, in this moment of time on this planet we call Earth.
Welcome back to another episode of Adventures in Business. This is Amy Zander, one of your hosts. I own Zeta Media, and I am here with Lisa Fisher. How are you doing today, Lisa?
Doing good, Amy. How about yourself?
I am excellent, and I'm very excited to learn more about our guest today, a fellow marketing person in the Lansing area, and I have seen her stuff on social media. I've heard about her. I've been watching what she's doing, but I have not met her yet, so this is really exciting for me to meet another marketing person. We can geek out on that kind of stuff. So tell us who we got.
So today we have Kimberly Levon, and I've had the privilege of being introduced to her at a networking event and just loved the brief moment that we had to spend together hearing about her and what she does. So welcome to our show, Kimberly. How are you today?
I'm great. How are you, Lisa?
I'm doing well. Please share with our listeners who you are and what you do.
My name is Kimberly Levon. I am a local Lansing small business owner, the CEO and creative writer of Mint Maven Fundraising. I focus on helping creative female entrepreneurs earning free grant funding.
Wow, that is so awesome. What an opportunity to help other business owners. How did you come about owning your own business?
I went after graduating from high school. I've been a lifelong creative, so I just kind of threw caution to the wind and let the creative projects take me where they will. So it went from a tattoo artist apprenticeship to undergraduate college at Kendall College of Art and Design, where I earned my BFA in fine art, printmaking, and graphic design. And the whole thing has kind of led to this big, long, before I knew it, long entrepreneurial journey of kind of piecing together different creative opportunities to create one big whole, which then skipped way ahead to now has led me to creating Mint Maven fundraising, because everybody needs creative. They need lots of things to help their businesses run, but they don't always have the budget to do so. So aside from getting sales, which everybody needs, there's got to be other ways where people could help. And there's now, I think, $74 billion open in grant funding in total. So it's not like there isn't enough for everyone. It's just a matter of knowing that it's there and then knowing how to access it and then doing your best to get it. And then so we can all thrive and do great.
That's a great story. I love to hear how people's journeys kind of start off, and you're still pretty young. You got a lot of awesomeness ahead of you, but it's really cool because, like you said, your journey, you did this tattoo thing for a while, you got an art degree, you did this. And then when you land in something and you look back and you say, oh, all those things I did now make sense. And they're leading up to something else. When you're on the journey, you're not always sure exactly where you're going. But I love to hear those stories like that, because once you fall into what you're really good at and passionate about, it all starts to just like click and come together. So I'm so excited that that's where you are right now in your journey. You figured that part out and that you're helping people. So originally, when you first came on the show, you said that you focus on helping women entrepreneurs. Is that correct?
Yes.
Okay. All right. And specifically nonprofits or artists or any kind of business? Do you have a niche that you focus on?
I do best with creative types. So other artists, fine artists, graphic designers, photographers, brand strategists, any woman who's, you know, creating something brand new that if it's got that kind of non-traditional feel, or I feel like anything that women do is technically non-traditional. So, but of that caliber, like open-minded, willing to take risks and, you know, push the boundaries on how you communicate, the words that you use, colors, all that stuff. If you feel like that feels like you, then you're a creative person. And yeah, because there's so many creative businesses that I could list. It would just be boring.
Right. So when you help a business get a, go after a grant, do you kind of through the process of the grant payout, is that how you get paid or does somebody hire you or is there different ways that you get paid?
I'm so glad you asked because that is, that's been a really kind of a gray area for a lot of people, including myself for quite a bit now, but I can concretely say that I found research with national organizations that all say very clearly that you cannot pay a grant writer from earning a grant. You have to save a budget to pay the grant writer for their work. And then the grant writer does not or cannot also take any percentage of your win. So that's also part of that. And it's really good to be aware because not all people do business in above board. So you might come across that. So be aware, just save up a budget, work with a professional. They don't get a percentage.
Thank you so much for clarifying that because I have had others tell me that, oh, we've hired a grant writer and we pay them if they win the grant from the proceeds and they get a percentage. And so this is the first time that I've heard that listeners don't do that. Protect yeah. yourselves.
Yes, protect yourself.
So $74 billion in grant money. Did you see an uptick in this because of the pandemic or has there always been money out there that people just aren't aware of?
It's kind of both. So there are philanthropic groups whose only mission is to help businesses and people. And depending on the type, like their target audience, that's the only thing that would be different. But their only aim is to give money away. There are businesses that are really large, like say Thoreau Hospital or insurance agencies or law firms. They make clearly great deals of money. And through the federal government, they are required to give a certain percentage of that money to their communities. And so depending on where they're physically located, that means that the surrounding businesses would be the only businesses available to collect that community funding as well. So they're required to give it away and only the most local people get it, not somebody in California or Denmark. It's only you. So that's another thing to be aware of. And then the other big, big thing is there's even more. I mean, I could talk about the other types of funding and how you could get it till the cows come home. What an outdated term. But the most important thing that for everybody to know is to be prepared. So there's a great deal of your business documents that you already have as an operating business, but just to have a certain amount and a certain ones together at the same time, all the time, digitally and in person or, you know, on paper, in case the funder asks for it, because you might spend all your time working on the proposal itself. And then when you get to the nitty gritty, the technical part of it, you were so engrossed in the creative side that you forgot, and then you can't find it. And then the grant is, the deadline has passed, you can't apply for it. And you know, so I built a very simple system to make these obstacles not obstacles. I can walk everyone through it, whoever is interested in working with me, about also included every single piece of information I could possibly think of that would help anyone kind of wrap their arms around this a bit in a bit easier way, with a frequently asked questions page on my website, a bunch of videos. I was recently featured on the news. I've already helped two businesses and one I've helped attain $55,000, and I'm making a really big ask now for $2 million for another client. So I know the system works. I myself have used it and have won several grants for Mint Maven. So I'm just really excited to help people. I'm happy to have this system. Also, there are a lot of grant writers. Shockingly, there's 15,000 opportunities for grant writing jobs and more every year, but there's a shortage of grant writers. So if you can write in a highly technical and persuasive way, you might be a grant writer. If anyone had questions about, can I do this? It's a skilled trade, so you can totally try to do it on your own. However, I would suggest at least working with somebody else, because when you apply for a grant with two people, your chances of success go up by 75%.
Wow. Okay.
Number one, what you've got on your docket is huge. It's amazing. But how did you fine tune or get the skills to be able to be so successful at grant writing?
So in 2004 is when I decided to visit Grand Rapids for portfolio day for getting into my undergraduate college career. And I had no intention of going. I was just going with art and saying, they can tell me if it's good or bad, or, you know, I'll do what I'm going to do. But then they ended up accepting me on the spot, and it was whirlwind of paperwork and like, say yes to this, pick this, whatever. And in all that big mess, there was this opportunity to win a Pell Grant. And at the time I'm like, okay, what's a Pell Grant? And they said stuff. And I said, okay, paperwork, cool, I'll fill it out. But I was just, you know, moving like a robot, do this, do this, do this. And it just felt natural. So I was doing all this stuff. They weren't telling me what I was doing really. Like, I was applying for grants the entire time. So from 2005 was my first grant, official grant win. And then all the way up to now, I have a substantial number of wins now. Yay. But that makes me feel confident in knowing that that was kind of the sketchy part, like the prep work that built Mint Maven. And that's why it's successful right now. And that's why anyone who works with me will have, hopefully, a really wonderful time and less of a headache. And the process will feel not so daunting and totally attainable.
So I want to go back to something you said earlier. You said that there's these businesses like a hospital, lawyers, things like that, that make a lot of money that need to give money back to the community. That's amazing. That's a new thing that I just learned today. But okay, so they're required to give the money back. Are they required to advertise that they have this money or make it known that they have it? Because if nobody applies for it, they don't need to give it away, right?
So I'm so glad you brought that up, because with grant funding and this opportunity, some grants just kind of, you know, fizzle out because nobody's aware of them and nobody applies for them. So that's one big way. But there's no way to really know who's... Sometimes the funder will let you know, we have so many applications, or we've had in the past, if it's like a yearly open opportunity, or if it's a one-time opportunity. But that's where things get kind of weird, is because they're not required to follow a certain structure to inform people of these opportunities. And depending on the budget, like maybe they have a $1 billion budget to hire a web designer and a copywriter and an art director to make the communication simple and easy. Maybe they don't. Maybe they have Google AdWords. Maybe they don't. So I found ways around that as well. And that's all in my new system. So I would love to talk more about it, but it's kind of a proprietary thing.
Oh, yeah, for sure. Yeah, absolutely. Okay, so I got another question. So who is your ideal client? So you said earlier, like people starting out, the creatives, things like that. But does a client need to be, how should I say this better? Getting grant money is amazing. It feels like it's just like free money, right? Yes. But as a business owner, so I'm asking personally and for our listeners and anybody else who's like, how do I get this money? Do you have to always have like a project or a goal or a community service or something like that that you're going to use the money for? Or can you use the money just for like general operations? Do you have to be a minority, like sometimes like a women-owned business or something like that? Like I know there's got to be like a bazillion things to this answer, but just walk us through a few like high level, like, you know, you may qualify if kind of things.
I'd say to start with just everybody across the board, you have to have a professionally registered business, like with the state that you're in. You have to have an EIN number, articles of incorporation, a profit and loss statement, a business plan if you can. Absolutely, definitely a brand strategy if you do not have a business plan. I would suggest a brand strategy regardless though, because that is the foundation for literally everything else. And it will answer a bunch of questions for me as I apply for grants on your behalf. And there's, you know, 15 other pieces of information, but that's all on my website as well. So for those taking notes, no need to listen to me and re-listen, you know, you can go to the website. There's that. And then there was something else in there, AB, you said.
Oh, I asked a whole bunch of things. I think you pretty much answered it. I was just, the thing about being like, you have to be a woman, minority, that kind of thing?
So I focus on women because most of the opportunities are targeted towards women of any color. And being a woman myself, I can speak to our struggles and what we have overcome or consistently try to overcome just to do the most basic of stuff. And that's why we have these opportunities. However, there are opportunities for just people of color. And, you know, depending on your color, you know, there are just opportunities for that. There are just opportunities for LGBTQ plus people. And within that, there is a myriad of different types of funding. So general operational funding would be considered unicorn funding because you could spend it on anything. And it's, you know, just like a big party, theoretically.
Right.
And then there's project-based funding, which let's say you want to have a big live event, you and Lisa with like dancers and food and all the things and fireworks, and it's going to cost $2 million. And so you apply for a grant for that, you get it. And then every single thing you said, if you said fireworks, you have to buy fireworks and you have to provide a receipt for the fireworks and then all of that. So that's, you know, depending on the size of your ask, that could be a lot of time. Also, I forgot to mention, grant applications can take anywhere from 2 to 180 hours to complete. And the cost working with a professional is anywhere from $1,000 to $10,000 per one application. That's the normal fee, depending on the writer's experience, their win rate, and a bunch of other things. So be aware of that as well. I am not at those prices because I want to kind of establish a large amount of people who I've helped and I can point to. So my prices are significantly lessened for that reason until I have a stable of people who I can say, these are the businesses who are currently thriving because I've helped them. I'm confident I can help you as well. And then when that happens, things will change. But that's why, if anybody's asking, that's why my prices are the way that they are.
When you said, and I, coming from a marketing and branding background, and you said having that brand document, that brand strategy is really important. Agreed, listeners. If somebody comes to you and they don't have that and they work with you, is that something that you help them do so they have it, or do they need to go get that on their own?
That is something I could point them to depending on the type of business. I have a large connection with people who specialize in different businesses. So maybe a strategist just for podcast people.
Right.
I would make that connection for you. And then all together, we would work together to create your perfect ask.
Right. Okay. And for the Lansing area, I just want to throw this out there, the SBDC, the Small Business Development Center connected to LCC, does help people come up with business plans and brand strategies. So if you need help with that, there's also that information, and we can put the links to that as well as all of Kimberly's links in the show notes. And you mentioned your website several times. So for our listeners, what is your website?
Mintmaven.co.
Mintmaven.co. Okay. That will also be in the show notes. All right, Lisa, I'm done interrupting you. What's your question?
You have this passion for helping other businesses grow and succeed. What was your most rewarding win?
That's such a fantastic question. I want to say with one of my favorite people, Melinda Livesey. She is the amazing human who introduced me to brand strategy. I took her boot camp. I built 3 businesses, including this one, with her help, and kind of meandered and figured out which one was best and why and all the things. And now to give back, I was able to win her a prestigious grant. She was the first person I won a grant for as well. And we just had this party on the phone. She's like, oh my God, it worked. Oh my God. It was just, and I was like, oh my God. So it's the beginning, I feel like a historical moment for us and the business and her business moving forward, because now we have plans to just take over the world and make new brands, like talk with other people who own, women who own businesses, who want to talk about branding and have fun and get free money and do things. And we're just building this big tribe of awesome people and helping us all grow at the same time. So it's just wonderful.
Loved your enthusiasm when you were answering that. And for the listeners that can't see her, because I get to see her face, she just lit up. So I love it. What's next for you, Kimberly?
I have a lot of really incredibly exciting things and people and businesses I get to help now that are currently signing on. And a lot of really, really big offers and opportunities and grant funding that literally just crossed my desk. So in total, in my current custom-built grant database, I have 169 opportunities that have been custom-sourced by me in my database. I found other databases in case I run out of opportunities, which I don't think is going to be a thing. But if in case, there's all these other databases I found. So I'm still building a new onboarding system, but I'm really close to completion. So I'm super excited about that. I can't wait. It'll be just a few months and we'll find out if these $1 million asks are going to be funded. So that'll be cool too. And like celebrating and sharing some photos on social media of some other wins as well that I can't talk about just yet, but soon.
That's exciting. Oh my gosh. That, like you said, it's a big party. Like you had a party on the phone or whatever, get it, celebrate that kind of stuff. From a marketing standpoint, and because you're building your business doing this, is it considered appropriate for you to market yourself saying, I helped win this money for this company for this thing? Or do you, or is it something that the company you're working with kind of decides at their discretion about that?
I know that certain grants and certain funders like to work with the grantee to craft a very specific message of how that's communicated. They are working on that now. It's been a few months and I've been in communication with them as well about how I should communicate about that. Nothing in particular about buzzwords or vocabulary or anything was shared that was a big no-no. But for anyone listening, if I said something that felt like a no-no to you, I didn't mean to. And I'm still learning and I'm working on it. But I'm just really careful to, if there's, you know, timeline where they say, you can absolutely tell everybody about the awesome or whatever on this date, I just always follow what the client asks, what the funder asks, and just follow it to the letter. So at this time, it seems like all systems are go.
Sounds good. I don't think you said, well, you didn't name anybody when we were talking. So I don't think you've said anything that's that you shouldn't have said. No. I didn't ask because of that. I was just curious. I mean, coming, you know, from a marketing background and wanting to like shout from the rooftops that, you know, we want this money. I'm sure that there was some kind of way to go about it appropriately, right?
Absolutely. Yes. And I'm going to make a template for everybody because I feel like that's going to be a common pain point for anybody who wins funding. And that's happened recently. My cousins who run Aota Hip Hop, they won a big grant that I also won and they posted about it the day they won. But in the fine print, it said, you cannot tell anybody until 28 days after you get the funds and then we do this and this. So I saved them from theoretically having their grant revoked. So that could be a thing too. And that can happen to you. So it's important, you know, if you don't have the brain space to look at all the little fine details, that's totally okay. That's why you partner with somebody who loves the fine details that can just say, don't talk about it until this date, or like, make sure you get it in by this time or something too. So it's, I just want everybody to know that it's not as daunting as you think it is. You can totally do this. You can do it with help. You can do it by yourself, whatever you think. You too can win grant funding.
Yeah, I was just thinking like for everybody who's listening and for me, myself and stuff, I can't think of a reason why business wouldn't try to win some kind of money, right? I mean, what do you have to lose? Some time, I guess, a little bit of funding for somebody like you to pay somebody like you to help. But really, I mean, the payout's got to be great.
Yeah. So. And it's potentially in the billions. I mean, and the millions for one grant, one application could turn your whole life around.
Right. All right. We're going to have a follow-up conversation, Kimberly.
Without, again, naming funders or recipients, what has been the most challenging circumstance? Just, you know, is there documentation? Is it, we deal with people and sometimes that can be challenging, but what's been one of your biggest challenges when you look at a grant you've applied for or somebody that's reached out for your services?
It's the range of depth of the applications themselves. Some of them, like the most recent one, is $2.5 million, what they need and what they're asking for is a lot. And it makes sense because the gift is that much, but because they're asking for so much, it's going to take a significantly longer amount of time. And most of the time I do things at light speed. My nickname is Lightspeed Levon. So I can really make it happen. But even with that ability, sometimes some things just take slowly, like they take a bit of time. And that has been irritating. I call it the hurry up and wait thing. That people, me included, it's like, did we hear back from the funder yet? No. Well, when are we going to hear back? 3 to 6 months or a year. Oh, next week. Did we hear back yet? No. Well, when are we going to hear? We're going to hear. I don't know. When they decide to let us know is when we'll hear, you know, like, so that's been irritating. And then the second thing has been, you know, there are tons of questions. I have tons of questions for the people I'm working with. The funder has questions and I have to figure out all the things, and that's totally fine. I love that. But some questions have really disappointing answers. For example, somebody said, what are my chances of winning this grant? I had a live grant up at a different podcast and we were going through it together. And they said, awesome, yay, it'll take 5 minutes, whatever. But who's applying? How many people are in my competition? What, like, will I actually even win this? And I said, well, this particular grant has the answer right here. And they did. They had this lovely little list and you just click this little button and it said, your chances of winning depend on the number and quality of applications we receive. And that was it. And it was, and then everybody got really upset. They're like, let's see it all. And I said, I understand, but that's why we're going to go through this system and that won't be a problem anymore. You'll just know in your heart and in your head that the application that you submitted is the very best that you are doing right now. That's it. Like, and that's the best anybody can do. So it's out of your hands. That's the only way I found to have like internal peace about waiting for a yes or a no. So it's just do your very best, shine all the time, put your best foot forward with everything you do, be prepared, do your homework, be a good human, and, you know, and you'll probably do super well. But that is a lot of work for a lot of people, and I get it. So ask yourself if you can do that. And if you can't, that's okay. Just maybe find a different way to fundraise.
Right. Well, and it seems like if you're going to go through all of this effort to do these things for a grant for your business, that it would make sense to partner with somebody like you so that you're doing the very best you can. You have an expert. You're not wasting your time. Is there, in your mind, the grant amount cutoff that says like, okay, if you're only applying for like a couple $1,000s, maybe try it yourself. But if you're going for this amount of money and above grant, it really, really makes sense to work with somebody like you. Did you have like a number in your mind about maybe about that?
I'd almost say 500 or less would be pretty easy for somebody who's never done anything ever. Like, you know how to write. People can, if you can read and write, 500 or less, you could probably win without help. Anything above that, they're going to ask for stuff that maybe you don't have. Maybe you don't have the budget to create it. Maybe you don't want to do the homework that's required to get it done. And then it's like, ugh. And it's that, at that $500 mark, I feel like I've seen the most change. Like now, as of this week, people are asking for videos, and very specifically videos of asker of the funds in a very casual environment, nothing scripted, nothing edited, no lighting, whatever. And them just saying from their heart, this is why I need money. This is what my business does. This is why you should fund it. But they were very specific. Like, do not edit this. Do not produce this. Why? I have no idea. I'm just going with what they want. And every single day it changes, but every morning I do 2 to 4 hours of research to make sure that I have most up-to-date grant listings, the most up-to-date information, the most up-to-date statistics, to also ensure don't miss that as well as we're applying for you.
That will be so hard for me as a marketing person to do like some unedited, unscripted video, like just as is. However, it's like easier for the person doing it, I guess. Since they don't want them to agonize over it, I guess. They just really want to see them raw and like you said, from the heart. But it would be hard for me.
It is not fun. Right. I feel like I derped out harder when I did mine and went like, I'm a solopreneur and I need some help.
Right? Give me money.
Oh, what do you think?
Right. Aw.
So you gave some pretty good tips for being prepared in order to write a grant just a few sentences ago. But from a business perspective, is there a piece of advice that you have for our listeners out there?
Yes, I would say make sure that you have rock solid contract for whatever it is that you're offering with a client. The client signs that contract. If you get a client who refuses to sign a contract, just walk away. Don't argue. Don't chat. Don't try to change your mind. Just say, thank you, we're not a good fit. We'll have endlessly bad experiences and potentially burn out at the end of your business if you accept clients who are not a good fit for you, your services, and your business. That's number one. Number two, I'd say to make sure that you're covered where you need to be. So that means copyright, trademark, liability insurance, so that nature. I would make sure some businesses need, you know, everybody needs different things, but whatever your top level things are, make sure that you have them or you have somebody who can talk to about it or help you or something. SBDC, great resource. There's other resources I have for free listed on my website with writing, video, and design in case that. And they're all free resources. So there's that. And then the very last thing I'd say, this is the biggest, most important one. Literally always, always. Nice. Always. If someone is being mean to you, if you're a client is screaming at you, a potential client, if they're mad, if you're having a bad day, whatever, it's because you are not taking care of you. You are responsible for your own feelings. So make sure you have your feelings in check and are in control of them. For you, maybe say something that could cost you the relationship with a potential client, a funder, something, because you don't have all the answers, never will. So it's super important to just space and grace for yourself and for others. If you can't do it for others, start with yourself, practice it until you can do it for others. I think that's one of the biggest problems I've seen in business, that people, that it's the movies that you watch, like in movies, and people are screaming and, you know, sell, and perfect this and this, that.
Like Mad Men.
Yeah, it's like that is dinosaur language for a reason. It's because it died. Don't revive it now in your business. For the boss, do it how you do it. Be professional and be kind and courteous, and you'll do way better than you would any other way.
Yep. I like how you said that, space and grace. Like that a lot. Yeah. And that is one of the hardest things to realize, I think, when you're starting out as a business owner in any industry, with whether you're selling services or products, that not every customer is worth having and not everything is a good fit. I had that exact thing you're talking about. I had a client that didn't want to use a contract. He said, well, it's a casual thing, blah, blah, blah. And he got really mad at me. And I said, nope, sorry. Yeah, it was a really weird conversation because I'd never had anyone flat out refuse to sign a contract before, but he did and didn't. So we didn't work together. It was really odd. Yeah.
See, we can all use less that.
Yes, exactly. When you were going through your list of some different, you know, characteristics and things to have, be kind. And then you just kind of kept going. And I'm like, back up, that be kind. Because there's a lot of value in there. And then you just hit it home, brought it back home with be nice. Yeah. Good stuff. So have you ever had any really bad advice starting off in your career, starting a business?
Yes. People have said, you know, one of the things that I still deal with from people, you know, people when they give advice are always well-meaning, even if it doesn't come off that way. So that's something to keep in mind when getting advice, right? But you can generate too many ideas. It can be overwhelming. It can feel it's like making everything 1,000 times worse for you, your head and your process. It's like, I have lots of ideas all the time. And then I'm like, no, if you have ADHD or you're right now, you know, if you have those needs and you think differently, kicking out ideas like your breathing might be your thing. And that's fine. Like, don't change who or how you are, but just find a system so you can kind of unleash it. So it's not like stuck, you're overloading, like overloading your iPhone with too much.
Right. And I think that's a common trap for creatives too.
And we're all, I feel like we all suffer from imposter syndrome. We all could use a bit of a reminder to have a healthy mindset, because we can't change anything else. Can't really make positive lasting change without a healthy mindset. That's where a lot of people, you know, they're doing the work, they're doing the research and make the connections, they're doing networking, but they're not seeing results. Could be mindset. It could be some stuff that you didn't even consider was a problem if you're not seeing success.
Right.
So just stay open-minded, trust your gut. If it feels wrong, it is wrong. You don't need to uncover why it's wrong.
And you convince yourself one way or the other, it just is. Yeah. Lots of good stuff here from such a young entrepreneur. I'm so impressed, Kimberly.
I do my best.
Yeah, absolutely.
This has been great. This is, and one last question before we say our goodbyes. What are you listening to? You know, you talked about that mindset. What are you listening to or reading that helps keep you inspired and with that positive mindset?
I regularly read Psychology Today. When I feel something like a negative trait arises in my mind about me, I like to do research on it in Psychology Today to figure out the root cause of why I'm reacting in a non-positive way, and to kind of play with it or just like get a better understanding. And then when I feel like the handle on it, like I have an action plan of how to fix it or something that's comfortable with me, I'll put it down and move forward. When I do that, I like to look at statistics about businesses, about grant writing, the industry, about where we're going, about things that need grants, like climate change and single moms and all the things, and try to find opportunities specifically for them. And then when I see the overwhelming need of all the different people and things that they all need help, they're all deserving of it, I try to make, I'll make little mini differences of stuff and saying like, here's stuff for Ireland and here's stuff for Ukraine or whatever, ways I could help them, or like little ideas of stuff. And that just makes me feel like they don't see it yet, that I'm building towards something and it will help somebody in the future. Because when I was starting out, I didn't have this. I had all of zero resources in terms of money or mentors. I didn't know where to find a mentor or how to do anything. And I just built it myself with a bunch of mistakes. I'd like to mention those are part of the process. So if your mistakes, don't beat yourself up. But I just cobbled it all together. Now I feel like I can be the person that I needed when I was a little brand new human and in business. And then also, you know, giving back that way and leaving like a lasting positive legacy. Of an example of this can be done a nice way, a different way. And there's plenty of right answers to all sorts of questions.
Listeners, follow Kimberly with Kimberly. Learn more about her. This has been such a knowledge filled and really heartwarming. It's been really nice to hear your journey and your story and what you're doing for other entrepreneurs. Thank you so much for being here, for what you do.
Yeah, it's worth a conversation just to find out what grants you might be qualified to go out and get, right? And then you can have a party with Kimberly. That's right. Absolutely. So is there anything we have not asked you that you want to say to our listeners before we sign off?
I want to say, if anybody's having a hard time, if, you know, the pandemic just happened, there's the news is not pleasant stuff, other things might be distressing you and you might think, I'm not ready to start a business. I'm in my business and it's not working out. I just want to give up. Like more work, money. Yeah. But more work. I don't want to. Wherever you're at is fine. You're where you need to be. Take a break if you need to. I will be here. I'm not going anywhere. Freebies on my website. There's tons of people who want to help you. I'm just one of many. There's organizations, there's groups, there are just individual people. They're totally out there. Like, we got you. You got this. Like, believe in yourself. Like, you can do it. You can totally do it.
This is just another amazing example of why living and working and hustling in the Lansing area is amazing. There are so many people in this mid-Michigan area that support small businesses that are willing to just be there for people and offer guidance and info and help. And I just love where we live. I love where we work. It's great. And now we have another resource to add to our toolbox. So, so awesome. All the feels, all the feels.
But ladies, you make it hard to say goodbye to you.
Well, we do have to wrap up, but I am going to have a follow-up conversation with you, Kimberly. I'd love to hear more. And maybe we'll have to have you back on to talk about some wins in a few months, you know, see where you're at, what's going on.
So I would have to get that. Yeah. Yeah. There's things, you know.
And I mean, if any of your clients that, you know, win a big grant or have something that they want to talk about and they want to come on our show and talk about their experience, that will be lovely too. So let them know about the show.
Oh, yes, please. Yeah, I need all the referral links and, you know.
There you go.
Yeah. Yep. That was far and wide.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, it has been such a pleasure having you on the show. Thank you so much. And for our listeners, check out Kimberly's business, all the links in the show notes, and go out and get that money.
Thank you again for being here. It's been an honor.
Thank you so much, Lady. Thank you so much.
Yep, absolutely. Yeah. So thank you for listening to our show and coming on an adventure with us and Kimberly Levon. We release episodes every Tuesday and Thursday. You can find them at dediamedia.com or wherever you listen to your podcasts. If you'd like to be a guest like Kimberly on our show, you can also go to zdiamedia.com and sign up for a time to record. Thank you so much. We hope you have a great day and make sure you make it an adventure.
Grab your passport and join Lisa and Amy as they interview a huge variety of today's professionals. You can discover Adventures in Business at zediamedia.com or find it at your favorite podcast source. If you'd like to be a guest at our show, we dare you to go to zediamedia.com. That's zediamedia.com and sign up.
This is a Zedia Media production.